One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. These stories are about people's desire, especially children's desire, to want to help me do the simple activities in life because I do not have two hands. Hello, my friends. This podcast was inspired by a moment that I had yesterday when I was going to get some Mexican food for my mother. We have a local Mexican spot here in Boise, Idaho that makes up some great menudo, and my mother was really feeling like menudo, so I went down to Campos Mexican Eatery and Store to pick up some menudo for my mother. Now, when I was leaving, someone was actually coming into the store. Now, I was carrying all this soup in a plastic bag, which I was holding on my left arm, which, of course, doesn't have the hand. And there was a lot of soup there. I had an order for my mom, some menudo for me, tortillas. We had all the goods. It was a big bag hanging on my arm that doesn't have a hand. This guy opens up the door. He sees me about 3 feet from the door, and he makes the very subtle eye movement, because I don't look normal on one level. He notices that I don't have two hands, and he looks down real quick to see that I don't have two hands, and then he gets a little like, oh, I should help this guy out because, well, he doesn't have two hands. And he held the door open for me. Very kind and very sweet, but not always a very popular thing amongst the one-handed world, so to speak. I have a lot of friends with one hand, and some of them don't like that at all. I have other friends that don't think anything of it at all, but myself, I am on the side that I actually enjoy it. And I think it's very kind when it's actually done sincerely. If people think I am helpless, well, that's not so cool, but I'm always glad when people hold the door open for me. This experience actually triggered a memory of a story I was reading about another one-handed guy who made reference to how people are always wanting to hold the door for him. And honestly, I cannot remember if this person liked it or didn't like it or took advantage of the situation or felt like he was being slighted or looked down upon as a one-handed person. I just remember that there was this idea that people go out of their way to hold the door open for one-handed people. Now, I realize if my hand is full and I'm looking pretty occupied, people want to go out of their way to help me, and I think people would want to go out of their way to help anyone through a doorway when they had a lot of stuff. However, in my experience this most recent time, I did notice that the guy noticed that I didn't have two hands. He looked down at me because I was carrying things somewhat oddly. Normally, a two-handed person wouldn't carry a bag of soup that way. So when I saw him notice me, he was a little bit surprised, and there was something there which triggered his desire or want or goodwill to open the door. And I didn't really think anything of it until I got to my car. That's when I was reminded of this story, of how this other one-handed guy was talking specifically about this moment. And it's something that I have dealt with a lot, not just in the door capacity, but really in people's desire and want to help me do very simple things in life, especially children. And this podcast is mostly about kids helping me out in funny, cool, and absolutely adorable and endearing ways. Before I get too far into some of these stories, let me give a little setup story. And it has to do with what I said earlier about sometimes I can't tell if people want to help me out of sincerity because they really want to help me and they see that I don't have two hands, but they want to help me, or they feel that I'm helpless and I cannot do things for myself, which I get a lot of both. But sometimes, actually on very rare occasions, I find myself in a situation where there is a person who can't really figure out which way they are going. And those can actually be very funny. And this is one. I do believe I mentioned it in a podcast before slightly. However, I was at the supermarket buying some food, and I had my little basket. I brought in all my food. I was on the little conveyor belt. I was talking to the cashier, and the food's going by. She's checking it out. We're getting close to the end of the amount of food that I had, and it was certainly two full bags worth of food. And I kept looking over at the checkout kid. It happened to be a boy, so it was the bag boy, pretty much. And he kept just looking at me and looking at my food and looking at the bags and looking at me and looking at the food and looking at the bags. And in the back of my head, I just knew this was going to be a great moment no matter which way it unfolded, because I could tell this kid didn't either want to offend me. Well, he didn't want to offend me based on his two options. Either he offers help and offends me, or he doesn't offer help and offends me. And I could tell he didn't really know what to do. So I just let this moment play out. And he waited for a long time. Actually, the cashier even looked over, and then I looked over, and we're all kind of looking at this kid because he's holding up the line because he doesn't know what to do. And I mentioned something. I was like, can I help you with something? And he's like, well, I just, I'm not quite sure. He couldn't even say it. What a kid. What a sweet kid. This was such a great moment. He couldn't even formulate the words. Therefore, I formulated them for him. And I said, you know what, kid? I've seen this look before, and I know your situation, right? You don't know what to do, because you're afraid that if you ask me if I need help bagging up this stuff and putting it in a bag and sending me on my way, you might offend me, because maybe I think, oh yeah, I can do things on my own. Or if you don't ask me for help, you're going to offend me because maybe I feel slightly helpless, or I feel like I need help in that moment and I'm offended that you didn't help me. And he got very agreeable. Yes, yes, I just don't know what to do. And I didn't say anything. Now people around me are actually starting to pay attention. So I waited for him to actually ask me. He said, well, what should I do? I can't believe I said this. And I said in a very just nonchalant, low-key, matter-of-fact, just straight up, I said, you know what? It doesn't matter what you do. No matter which choice you make, you're screwed. And everyone started laughing. It was just such a funny moment. I said a very bad four-letter word, started with a F, but it just fit the moment. It was just such an adorable moment. It was a powerfully strong, funky moment, but it really stressed that point. And I said, yeah, basically, you're screwed. It doesn't matter what you do, something bad could happen. So as he bagged up my food, and then he started handing it to me, I said, you know, all that matters is you ask me sincerely. And if you're truly sincere, whether you help me or not help me, is not going to bother me. And the best thing to do is just ask me if I want help. May I bag these for you, or how may I help you? Which is really the best way to go. But he felt really uncomfortable. Everyone's still having a good laugh. And I thought it was a great one-handed moment. This kid just happened to be a young teenager, which I still think is pretty much not really a child, but a young adult. And I have very cool interactions with young adults on many different levels, many different levels. I'm laughing because I just had this quick memory of this 17-year-old girl who I was working with for one day. When I walked in the door, she was staring at my arm so intensely, she couldn't take her eyes off it. And she even, while she was staring at my arm, was just like, she said this out loud. She said, wow, I can't believe how hard I'm staring at your arm. And I just laughed and I said, well, it might not be hard to believe, but you're still doing it. We ended up having a really good work relationship that one day. However, I have a lot of very beautiful experiences with kids because they want to help me do things. The simple things in life. This is very special. The very simple things in life. Like lifting up my coat or putting my coat on or holding a cup of coffee. This one time, when I was on a plane, when I had my martial arts school, there was a decade I taught Aikido here in Boise, Idaho at the 10th Street Dojo, Three Shapes Aikido, Reshape Your Life, Three Shapes Aikido. I traveled a lot for training because there's not a lot of Aikido in Idaho. And the best thing for me to do is just getting on a plane and go to Seattle, Portland, Oregon, Reno, spent a lot of time in California, a lot of time in Montana. And I was just on one of my monthly trips somewhere to go train. I got on the plane. I looked down. The place was pretty packed. There just happened to be a seat next to an 8-year-old girl and her young teenaged sister. And I looked at them and I said, "Hey, ladies, is it okay if I sit next to you?" And they both giggled and said, "Yeah, it's just fine." And as I was kind of putting all my stuff away, this little 8-year-old girl noticed that I don't have two hands. And for a moment, she had the wide-eyed look like, "Whoa, this guy doesn't have a hand." I love that reaction. And she's watching me manage my stuff. I'm getting stuff up. I'm getting my computer out. I'm kind of getting ready for this quick flight. Put stuff away, get my coat off, put my coat over in the overhead. I finally sit down. We're hanging out. The stewardess comes by. We're asking questions. And the girl's just looking at me. So I look down at the little 8-year-old girl, and she's looking at me, and I give her a nice smile, and she gives me a nice smile. And then we're just taking our time settling in, just talking. "Where are you going?" "Oh, we're going home to see our dad," this kind of thing. Ask me what I'm doing. And I said, "Well, I'm going to study a martial art." And she's like, "Oh, that's neat." And that was about the end of the conversation. It was then the flight attendant said, "Okay, we're getting ready to take off now. Everybody put on your seatbelt." And this was an interesting moment because sometimes the seat belts can be hard to find and they're in quirky positions and they take a little bit of work. And, you know, mine happened to be near this 8-year-old girl's seat, so I'm kind of digging for it. And she's on my left. Now, the seat belt that I have to grab is on my left. So I'm reaching over with my right hand. I'm looking a little awkward. I pull the strap over and put it on my leg. And then I go start looking for the other buckle. Because, well, I want to put my seatbelt on, and I'm looking to my right, and I'm searching on the right side of my seat for this seatbelt, and out of nowhere, I can feel this 8-year-old girl pretty much climbing all over me metaphorically. I mean, I don't know how quickly she got her seatbelt unbuckled, but she was fully up on her seat, had one knee on my leg, had one hand on my other leg, and she was grabbing the other belt buckle, and she buckled my belt buckle. And it was so funny because I had that slightly stunned look on my face like, "What on earth are you doing?" Yeah, it was so funny. And she kind of caught herself like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I just climbed all over you to buckle your belt buckle." But it was so funny because I could tell she was so sincere about wanting to help me. Because in her little 8-year-old mind, because she doesn't have a lot of miles, and maybe it's hard for her to do something like buckle a seat belt, belt buckle, plain buckle, any kind of buckle, that it must be much more difficult for me without two hands. And she was so happy when she got that belt buckle in there, and I looked over at her and she was just finishing like tightening my belt buckle. And she kind of crunched down like, "Oh," slightly embarrassed, but like, "Oh, I can't believe I just did that." And it was so precious. It took a little bit of effort on my part to kind of hold back my eyes welling up. I didn't want her to see me necessarily get all teary on that, but it was just such a pure, sincere, kind gesture. And I just looked over at her and I said, "Thank you." And I meant it because that was really sweet. And in a real way, I kind of was struggling a little bit with that seatbelt. Those are quirky things because typically you have to hold one side and the other side and click them together. It can take a little bit of effort on my behalf, depending on where the belt buckle, what side each part of the belt buckle, the male and female part, are on. It usually is a little bit challenging for me, really no big deal. But this little girl really wanted to help me. And I'll tell you what, I was on the plane for about an hour, and her and I and her sister, we just had a great time talking and hanging out and drinking pop and telling stories. And she asked me a bunch of one-handed questions, and I let her know, and we just had a great, great time. And I'm sharing this story with you because this is what I'm talking about. Children going out of their way, and this girl really went out of her way. She must have been real comfortable with me because she was all over me for about 7 seconds. She went out of her way to help me do this very simple thing. And with her, I could tell it was very sincere. And that memory is so etched in my mind. It is such a special memory in my one-handed moments. And I love telling people that story because it's really, it shows truly the human condition of compassion and wanting to help people. That little girl made my day, and she might have made my weekend. And I'm sharing that with you because it was such a special moment for me. This last story I want to share with you happened at the coffee shop that's across the street from where I work. I work for the Bureau of Reclamation here in Boise, Idaho, and across the street is St. Alphonsus Church. There's a small coffee shop there, and they have a great cafeteria, so a lot of people from our building go over there. I spend a lot of time there. Right now, I'm not drinking coffee, but historically in this life, I love coffee, and I'm typically drinking a lot of coffee, and usually every day, I walk over and I get myself a cup of coffee, and this day happened to be like many of my other days. I walked across the street to get a cup of coffee, and as I approached this little coffee shop, it's not really an enclosed coffee shop, it's just, it's like a double bar. It's in the corner of this hallway, and they serve coffee there. They have maybe 3 seats where people can sit, pastries, great Java, really cool people. It's a great time. As I walk up and I am in line and I'm giving my order, I just happen to look over to my left and there are 3 young children. Maybe, I'd say these girls were probably 10 or 11, somewhere in that age range. 9, 10, 11, somewhere around there. And I noticed that one girl on the end, to my right, she is noticing that I don't have 2 hands. And she's watching me manage my stuff, articulate my stuff. I'm holding my wallet, opening my wallet, giving change, taking change back, waving hello, writing on my receipt, all kinds of stuff. And then I order my coffee and I come around these 3 girls, because I get to the little place where they have all the cream and all the sugar and all that kind of stuff, and this girl's just watching me. And I know something is going to happen. I just don't know what. And it's interesting because I had my coffee. It had no lid and it had no sleeve. I just had my raw cup of coffee. And at that time, I do believe it was a 20-ounce, 4-shot Americano. And I was getting ready to put a little bit of sugar in there. And I remember grabbing 2 packs of sugar and I started to shake them as people do to push all the sugar down to the bottom of the pack. So when you tear it open, sugar doesn't fly everywhere. And as I just about finished my shake, the little girl looked at me and she said, "Would you like some help with that?" And it just sounded so sweet. And I could tell that she really wanted to help me. So I thought, well, okay. You know, I don't want to hurt her feelings. I don't really need help. I don't really, really need help opening a pack of sugar. I can do it like 7 different ways, and usually I'm just ripping it open with my mouth. But in some situations, I can hold it down on the table and peel the wrapper back. But I thought, you know what? This girl wants to help me. I think I'm going to let her help me. And I said, yes, that would be great. And I put my coffee cup out in front of her, and she grabbed my sugar, and then she did a cute little shake on it. You know, I think maybe she was just trying to be cool for me. And then she ripped the top off, and she poured it in there. And I said, thank you. And then I grabbed my cup of coffee, and as I was starting to turn away, she turned to her friend. And I don't think she thought I could hear her, but she was a little louder than I think she thought she was. She said, "Hey, this guy only has one hand, and maybe you should help him." It was so... I was just a little set back by what was going on. And then this girl in the middle, because there were three of them, she kind of leaned back. She looked over. She saw that I don't have two hands. And she said, can I help you? And I said, well, would you like to stir my coffee? And she said, yes. Yes, she was very excited. She's like, oh, yes. And so I gave her my cup of coffee and I gave her a large wooden stir and she started to stir my coffee. And she was kind of getting into it, you know, and these little girls were just having this little moment about helping me with my coffee. And then the third little girl, I think at this point, she felt like she didn't want to be left out. And she said, well, is there something I can help you with? Now, at this point, I'm just feeling all the love. And I think part of it for me is that, you know, the children, they think I'm helpless, but not in the way adults do. I think it has to do with how young they are. And they don't have a lot of experience doing things. And then when they struggle with things with two hands, they just can only imagine how difficult things could be with one hand. I mean, and I have high capacity. I do a lot of stuff as a one-handed person. So certainly I don't need any help prepping my coffee, but these girls really wanted to help me. So this last girl, like I said, I think she was just feeling left out. And she just by the way she said it, she's like, well, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, yes. As a matter of fact, there is. Could you put the sleeve on my coffee and put the lid on my coffee? And she's like, oh, yeah, I can do that for you. And it's funny, too, because she was the smallest of the girls, so she must have been in the 9-year-old age, and she was just very petite, very tiny. So a 20-ounce cup was even a little difficult for her to manage, and she was kind of having some trouble lifting up the cup and squeezing the sleeve to put the sleeve on there, and she noticed me watching her. And I looked down at her and I said, do you think I could help you? And she's like, no, I got it. So her friend came over and grabbed the cup, and then her other friend grabbed the cup. And at one moment, all three of them were helping me out. Two of them were holding the cup. The third one slid the sleeve under the bottom and got it on there and then put the lid on top. And then all three of them smiled at me like they had done the greatest thing in the world. And I'll tell you what, in that moment, they did, because it was just utter kindness, just absolute compassion, just totally helping me out. And I let them know. I said, hey, young ladies, I am so grateful for your help. Thank you so much. You made my day. This is such a special moment for me. And they were smiling ear to ear. They were beaming. Oh my word. It was a special moment all around. And that's another story that I'm putting that in my book. That one, when I write that one out, it's going to be a little bit longer, but it is such a special story, because that moment had such great quality. And it really has to do with how people sincerely want to help other people. And I get this mostly from children. And I must say, I get it more from little girls than I do from little boys. And it just could be the nurturing quality of the female, regardless of what it is. It is just so absolutely special. And whenever children sincerely want to help me, I always let them help me, because it makes them feel so good. And this is a great opportunity as a one-handed person to be the condition of other people's happiness. It is an interesting life, this one-handed life. Typically, when people go out of their way to help me, I normally let them help me, even tying my shoes. Just when people start to actually physically move to help me, like that guy at the beginning of this podcast when I told you that he just wanted to open the door for me, I let that happen. Now, When people ask me if they can help me, most of the time I do, but depending on the situation, sometimes I don't. Because sometimes I just want to do things for myself, and it really all depends on the feel that I get from people, whether or not I sense something from them or not, but sometimes I turn them down. I say, no, actually, I'm able to do this myself. And then sometimes people help me do something, and then later, like if we're on the bus or something, maybe somebody's helping me put my bags away, then I can see them, I can feel them thinking, I can see their body motion, their mudra, their mannerisms, their thinking. And then they'll say, hey, was that okay that I helped you or asked if you needed help? Because I know you don't want to offend me, but the best thing you can always do is ask. And if I accept your help, great. If I don't accept your help, well, that's great too. But either way, don't feel bad. As long as you're sincere, that's all that I am really concerned about. If you truly want to help me, that's all. All you have to do is ask. And this is the advice that I give people when people say, well, I don't know what to do. And I say, all you have to do is ask. May I help you do this? And then you, in all due fairness, you leave it up to me. Then I can choose. Because sometimes people force themselves on me. And I don't mean like that little girl on the plane. I mean, people think I'm incapable and they force their help on me. And I actually find that insulting and rude. And I don't really want to deal with that. Therefore, if you're sincere and you truly want to help me and you ask if you can help me, then of course, I'll want to help you. And I think it's very, very kind. I think it's very sweet. And it can actually, well, it can make my day as a one-handed person. Because I got to tell you, living life with one hand has many cool, quirky, and weird things. Yeah, there's a lot of negative stuff in there. I don't really like to talk about that because what I want to do is just be a beacon of light for people. And one of the ways that I can be the condition of other people's happiness and make other people feel good about who they are and about who I am and feel good about myself is to let people help me. Now, sometimes people have this thing where they don't like to get help from other people or they have too much pride and they feel like, well, nobody can help them or nobody should help them. And this is basically the moral of this podcast. What I'm trying to share with people is sometimes simply let people help you because they want to and see what happens. It's a very, very special quality of the human condition. And this quality, I deal with a lot as a one-handed person, and this is one of the great, great qualities of having one hand, is that it can, if I approach it properly, if I work it properly, it can be the condition of people's happiness.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.